Welcome to the Mass Effect Hypecast. I'm your host, Morgan, aka Bon Diesel, and this is a podcast about Mass Effect, the future of BioWare's premier franchise, and all of our speculation and ideas for the next game. This episode, I'll be covering what we may learn from Mass Effect 4 in 2024, some of the things we know, as well as some of the things we can speculate and hope for, and a smattering of other things as well. Before we get started on the YouTube, please subscribe to the channel, hit the like button, and comment down below. Subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast platform, and leave a review on Spotify or iTunes to help the show get noticed. A special thank you to all of the patrons and YouTube members, including Hassan, YouTubes, Neuronix, PK, Cage Nephilim, and Horseman. If you're interested in supporting this podcast, consider becoming a member on YouTube, subscribing over on Twitch, or joining my Patreon or Ko-Fi at the link down in the description of the show. Let's get right into it. Let's dive in. Will we get any new Mass Effect 4 info in 2024? So the short answer is probably. It's a great podcast. Episode number 4 down. I'll see you guys next time. Of course, I'm kidding. I think that's a complicated question. There's two things working against getting any significant info. I think the main one being that, as far as we know, the game is still in pre-production, is likely in its like fifth year of pre-production. If the things I've put together over the last few years line up correctly and are true, I legitimately think this game has probably been in pre-production since 2019, and maybe even just at the lowest levels. Like maybe, you know, obviously the focus has been on Dreadwolf, which we'll talk about, but I'm fairly sure that in some capacity, the next Mass Effect has been in pre-production, even with the tiniest crew, since at least 2020. Because they put out the trailer and all of that. So I think the fact that it's still in pre-production and the rumors about its release date, which we'll get to, I promise. That's one thing working against it is I don't know how much they have to show us that they can show us or that they're willing to. The other thing working against it is Dragon Age Dreadwolf. It's another game that's been in production for a long time, not pre-production, like actual full-on actual development. The rumors have been over the years that it's been plagued with basically being rebooted and changed and all of that. And I think this is maybe against better logic and against some of the insiders and what they've said, that I suspect there's a larger crew working on Mass Effect than we think. The problem is that that's also relative. Like when N7 Legend, who was on the last episode of this show, you know, gave some of his insider info from a source he had, that there was a skeleton crew working on the game. Well, as far as I remember, that there wasn't an actual number there. So, you know, a full-fledged game, a AAA full-on, you know, big publisher game, can have hundreds, if not over 1,000 developers on it. So in BioWare's context, or someone who's near them, a skeleton crew could be 50 people, especially in a pre-production phase, or more. You know, there was some misconceptions, I think, last year, when BioWare did some layoffs, and I believe they laid off 50 people last summer, and there were a few people, I believe it was like Jeff Grubb and some others, who were like, well, we're pretty sure BioWare only has like 200 devs, so now they're down to 150 employees and they're still making Dreadwolf. And like, all of the research I did and some of the poking and prodding I did suggested they actually have closer to around 600 devs. And so obviously losing 50 devs, especially the senior devs and writers and stuff that they did cut, is a big deal. But a AAA studio currently making one AAA game, a big giant open world RPG, and in pre-production on another one, you know, going from 200 to 150 or going from 600 to 550, that's a big difference for a studio, right? So it just, we don't know. You know, Dreadwolf is supposed to be getting a big update in June. If I was putting my money on something and I was feeling a little risky, I would say that means they're probably going to announce a release date for late 2024. And the consensus seems to be, even amongst myself, is that development on Mass Effect Next or 4 or 5 or whatever probably won't or can't really begin until after Dreadwolf comes out. And then obviously there's going to be a time after that where people get some time off and people get a chance to, you know, do nothing for a little bit. People will leave. Like, after Dreadwolf is released, we're probably going to see some senior developers at Mass Effect bounce, especially if they've been on the project since its conception. And then after some time, we'll probably start seeing or getting confirmation that they're beginning to move development, you know, move the bulk of their developers over to the next Mass Effect, and actual production on that will begin. And those two reasons, which I understand, I rambled a bit there, are why I do believe that we will get something about Mass Effect again this year. It just may not be anything big like we hope. It's more than likely the only official news we're going to get about it is going to be in the fall for N7 Day. That's almost certain. It wouldn't surprise me at all if we get some rumors or leaks that come out in the meantime, especially as things kind of get going with Dreadwolf and they start talking more about Dreadwolf. I suspect that we'll get some Mass Effect stuff. We'll find its way out, for better or worse. So N7 Day, I would say, is pretty much a guarantee for something. If they do like an EA Play or some kind of showcase for EA this summer, which we're expecting with the Dreadwolf information that's supposed to be coming out, I wouldn't be, you know, that wouldn't surprise me if we get even just the tiniest update on BioWare or on Mass Effect. I even think that we sit here almost in February. It wouldn't surprise me at all if in February or March we get a, hey everyone, this is BioWare, this is me, the guy who runs BioWare. Of course, I can't remember off the top of my head right now. Here's where we're at. Here's what's going on. Because as far as I can remember, the last two bits of official communication they did were N7 Day and Dreadwolf and Dragon Age Day. And then before that, the most recent one was when they announced the layoffs, I believe. So we're probably due for a general BioWare blog here at some point where they're going to give us some kind of update. If I had to guess what that's going to look like, is it's going to be, hey, remember, in June, we're going to have some Dragon Age info. We are still in pre-production, working super hard on the next Mass Effect experience. Thank you all for hanging with us during a rough couple years or something. And so that's what I'm expecting for 2024. I've seen some crackpot stuff of people being like, I think they're going to shadow drop. Like, no. We'll be lucky if we know the subtitle for Mass Effect at the end of this year, let alone them releasing the game, which we'll talk about release dates here in a little bit. So then we can move into maybe a controversial subject to talk about, but what do we know? And I say that with quotes. What do we know about the next Mass Effect? And I put it in quotes because it's really not much. And I'll talk about some things I think we do know fairly concretely, but I have a tough time in my own brain of separating the things that we know for a fact and things that I think we have some really good educated speculation on. Though admittedly, and we'll get to this as well, the last N7 Day really threw out a lot of my educated speculation. But we'll get there. So the things that we know. So one of the things that we know is that the game is going to use Unreal Engine 5. This is per Brennan Holmes, who is a producer at BioWare, who's at least their most recent statements have indicated they're working on the Mass Effect game, and they've never indicated differently. We'll talk about that as well. That confirmation came on December 17th of 2021. We know that Liara is involved in some capacity. We have seen her in one trailer. We have heard her in another teaser. The trailer was the 2020 Game Awards trailer. As we all know, the reveal, the will continue. A trailer that still to this day gives me goosebumps. I love that trailer so much. Even if the game ends up being awful one day, I will still hold that trailer dear in my heart. And then in 2021, I believe, we got the poster and the wobbly, the garbled voice chatter that we took apart. And or was that 2022? That was 2022. And we heard Liara. And so Liara appears to be involved in some capacity. And then we know the game is in pre-production. We have no indication at this time it's in production, where they're actually making the game. We are under the impression, we've been told multiple times it's in pre-production. And that can mean a lot. I think for a game that's been in pre-production as long as it seems like Mass Effect has been, my assumption is they've probably got some pretty in-depth, like, vertical slices. So a vertical slice is where you basically fully make from top to bottom animations, voice acting, finished graphics, finished models, textures, everything for like a little itty bitty segment of a game, just so you can either for EA, so they can show the people above them, hey, this is kind of what we're shooting for. It's not uncommon for a team to make a vertical slice of the game, to basically set the precedent for the rest of the game. So everything that needs to be made before that point in the game and after kind of looks to that vertical slice as that's the standard. That's what we're trying to do. And that's sometimes how it works. At least that's what I've been told. So that's probably what they're doing right now. The problem with pre-production is that in 2023, I believe it was early in the year, we had some indication that Mass Effect workers, Mass Effect devs from the pre-production team had been sent over to work on the Dreadwolf and get it going, and I assume get it released in 2024 this year. We also found out later in the year that developers from EA Motive, who's a former BioWare studio that was converted to an EA studio, that they were working on Dreadwolf as well from late 2022 to around August in 2023, when then they announced that they're going to be working on an Iron Man game. And the reason I think that's relevant is, along with the announcement that Mark Dara, formerly BioWare, was consulting on Dreadwolf, I believe it was like in last spring, when they also announced the Mass Effect workers were working on Dreadwolf now. My guess is that those people are likely no longer working on Dreadwolf. My guess is that that was probably a temporary assignment where Motive was, you know, went in there and worked in the trenches for 8 or 9 months. My guess is that the Mass Effect workers probably did that as well. And I would have to imagine at some point, if not already, would be returning back to the Mass Effect pre-production project, with Dreadwolf hopefully wrapping up, both for the sake of the Dragon Age fans who are excited about that game, and for the sake of folks like me who want to know that they are working on Mass Effect, right? Like, that it's just such a it's a weird feeling when you're thinking about a game that's as far away as Mass Effect could be, and you're looking at all of these little intricacies and all of the little moves that we're finding out, even though I'm sure it's, you know, just the tip of the needle in the big picture. It's one of those things where it's like, at the end of the day, you just want to know that someone's working on the thing that you want. And in a day where all these publishers are doing all of these layoffs and all these studios are shutting down or having projects canceled, as of the recording of this, it was just announced that the Embracer Group was canceling the Deus Ex game that was supposed to be coming and laying off a big part of that Eidos Montreal team. That sucks. That's absolutely awful. That's a huge bummer, and no one wants to hear that. or find that out, because that studio is awesome. It's really bummed me out to find out that we're not going to get another Guardians of the Galaxy game from them, because of how everything split up with Square Enix, and now with that studio getting probably, torn apart. You know, with all of those things happening in the last couple of years, that's why, I have an eye on BioWare and I'm watching it really closely, because I think it's interesting. But I'm also hoping for the best for that team, and hoping that they continue to do their work. So those are the things I think we know about the next game. Unreal Engine 5, Liara's involvement, and that it's in pre-production. As for what can we do educated speculation on? Well, I think we can pretty well speculate that the Milky Way will be involved in the next game. From my observations, I still think every single teaser and every concept bit and trailer, I believe everything we've seen so far has been in the Milky Way. I know that this last N7 day sure threw a lot of us in for a loop, which I'll get to later. And it seems like, and I'll get to my next point here as well, that Andromeda is going to be involved in some capacity. But I still don't think that there's any reason at this point to believe that everything that we've seen so far isn't in the Milky Way. Now, that said, getting to my second point, Andromeda seems to be almost certainly involved. We saw in this last N7 day, in the art they released of this shadowy, kind of cool-looking N7 character that was in the trailer, well, they released like a poster art of him as well, and in the middle of the poster art was this scene, which in hindsight, it's like kind of like, obviously they're trying to message something to us and it's our job to decipher it. But it is like kind of funny that we have this cool looking N7 and then just a scene of a bar in the middle of them. But this bar scene appears to show Geth and Angara. And while that's interesting, because as far as we know, those two species have never interacted, at least in the known history of Mass Effect. Those two species have never been in the same place at the same time. We aren't under the impression there were any Geth in Andromeda, even if, maybe some stowed away or something to go there. But the other thing is that they're in this scene were Hanar. And there were no Hanar in Andromeda. That they were on the Kila Salai, the arc that didn't make it, that got, had issues, which is a whole different thing to talk about. And so Andromeda seems obviously involved in some capacity. Now, people have had endless theories already so far since this last N7 day. And, maybe they're going to do a time travel thing or a multiverse thing or something with wormholes. And there's even some suggestion that people have like dug into one of the old 2020 trailer and started to listen closer to some stuff. And there's some garbled speech in there that seems to be talking about anomalies and sensors. And, some people, including myself, have started to think that they're going to try to go down like a wormhole path. And maybe that opens up some space for the galaxies to be connected, but it not be that far away from Mass Effect 3. I don't know. We'll figure that out. But it does seem that we can pretty clearly speculate that the Milky Way is going to be heavily involved and that the Andromeda is going to be involved in some capacity. I think another thing we can do some educated speculation on is that Shepard will be involved in some capacity, even if they're dead. I think that, and I've kind of, so much of my hope for the next game and so much of my speculation and all of that stuff was really based around hoping this next game would take place shortly after Mass Effect 3, that we'd get to play as Shepard again, and we'd be kind of overseeing or helping with the rebuilding of the galaxy. I still hope for that would still be very cool. But I think that is becoming less and less likely, like that exact scenario, right? Which is fine. I can deal with it. But the hope I do hold on to is that even if Shepard is gone, even if this game takes place hundreds of years after Mass Effect 3 and most of our friends are gone, maybe Liara is still around and some Krogan and other Asari and things like that, that it's almost certain, though, that Shepard will still be a topic and still be part of the story. if anything, it would be interesting to see how Shepard is treated long after their death, right? This society, this galaxy, the people here would be very interesting, because on one hand, all of the humans and the Turians and the Salarians and the Quarians and so on, if this game takes place hundreds of years later, well, all of those people will be the great-great-great-grandchildren of people who were alive when Shepard was alive and who actually were around when the legend of Shepard was created. So it would be interesting to see how those species, especially humans, look back at Shepard and how Shepard's remembered by them. But the unique part about this galaxy would be that Shepard would be remembered as well by Asari and Krogan and so on, who were alive when Shepard was alive. We, in theory, will still have a Liara. We could even have an Arya and some others that interacted with Shepard, and are still alive, who not only were there during the creation of that legend or that hero figure, but actually saw the reality of it. And so I think that'd be a fun thing to play with. And so if we can't get Shepard back to play as, I think it will at least be fun. And I hope, and I will speculate that we will get a chance to kind of see the legacy of Shepard. And I think that we can also surmise that this game is going to take place after Mass Effect 3 and is likely going to go forward with the Destroy ending. I think maybe this is less likely now. I still don't think it is. I think that the Destroy ending has been pretty heavily hinted, especially in 2020 and 2021, with the trailer having a couple dead Reapers, 2021 with it having just some of the things it has in there, kind of suggesting that the Geth are dead and things like that. So now, obviously, as I just said not too long ago, we had this last in 7 day show the living Geth. So I don't know why. Like, this is where we get to the point, and I'm going to talk more about it in a bit, and how this last in 7 day, I was like pretty sure about what I thought this next game was going to be, just at least in the broadest sense. And this last in 7 day changed that. So the last thing I'll put into the educated speculation thing here is, if you're a real weirdo like I am, I've been basically keeping track of all of the hiring they've been doing since 2021, specifically for Mass Effect. Now, the BioWare career page and the EA career pages, it's kind of hard to track this a little bit, because BioWare isn't a monolith. It's a studio that is working on multiple games, especially now. It was 3 games, now it's 2 since they booted KOTOR. Or SOTOR, whatever it was. And you can show how much I care about that franchise. And there's a lot of hiring that was done in the last couple of years that seems like it was probably more, and maybe it was explicitly stated it was for Dreadwolf, or it was implied it was for Dreadwolf. Like, even today, I just was posting on social media about how there's currently a listing for a gameplay programmer or something that's on a 6-month contract. On just a few weeks ago, there was another contract for 6 months that they were offering up just for some temporary work, I assume to wrap up Dreadwolf. I assume these roles aren't going to be for Mass Effect. I know sometimes those temporary jobs can turn into, hey, you finished your contract, but we need you for this other thing, so why don't you just come on? Regardless of all that, the positions I know they've been hiring for, and we can assume they have hired for, were all the director positions. So back in 2021, I'll talk about when they were hired, or when the listings went away. So in 2022, we had all but one of these listings go away. Lead engine programmer, environmental director, gameplay director, presentation director, narrative director, level design director, technical director, and development director, as well as the lead domain programmer. Some things to mention here is that the environmental director mentioned Unreal Engine. That was one of the things, other than the statement directly from a BioWare producer about that. The narrative director ended up being Mary DeMarley, and this was confirmed in June of 2022, as well as, I believe, the 2022 in 7 day blog, where it had Mary in there. The technical director, that one mentioned Unreal Engine. And that one was weird because it got posted and then changed and so on. And that was kind of odd. And then the development director was confirmed to have been hired in the 2022 and 7 day. And then there were no hirings listed. So that last one, that development director, was posted in 6/21/22. We found out who it was on in 7 day in 2022. And then they did not put any more explicitly Mass Effect jobs up until September 25th of 23. And then on 11/19/23, that listing went away. And that one was senior gameplay animator, just for Mass Effect. It was listed specifically. So all of that stuff, you know, the fact that they have, as far as we can tell, all of their directors in place. And we have seen some other, there was someone who worked on Andromeda who came back to BioWare as their mission director or their mission creator, mission lead or whatever they called it. All of these things are why I suspect they are years and years deep in the pre-production, and why it wouldn't surprise me at all if they are doing some pretty advanced pre-production when it comes to those like pretty big scale vertical slices and things like that. And the reason that's important for people is you have to think of pre-production is like when you're making a big building and you're putting up the framework and the scaffolding and all of that stuff. And the more time you get to do that, and the more effective that work is. So it's both a matter of time and leadership. But the more robust your framework is, and the more robust your scaffolding is around this thing that you're building, that means that, and if it's done well, when they shift over the full production on Mass Effect from Dreadwolf, you know, that's when it goes to just setting these people loose on that scaffolding in that frame. And if that frame is strong and tight, and if that scaffolding is strong and tight, that production can happen extremely quickly and very effectively. When we look back at games like Anthem, when we look back at games like Andromeda, those were games who surely had pre-production and maybe even long pre-production cycles. But from all of the interviews and all of the stories we've gotten about those games since they came out, it seems pretty obvious that that scaffolding was not strong and robust, and that framing was not done well. The example I will throw out forever is that Anthem, they weren't sure if it was still going to have flying in the game 6 months before it released. Now, if you played Anthem, you will know that flying is probably the single most prominent mechanic in that game. And so when you hear that this big AAA game from a, at least at the time, big studio like BioWare didn't know if it was going to have this core mechanic as part of the game or not 6 months before it released is insane. That's just, it explains everything, at least to me, why that game, like it looked pretty good and it did some cool stuff, but it was just empty and soulless and had nothing to it, even though they had spent a decent number of years working on it. And that was because the framework wasn't there, or at least it wasn't robust. The scaffolding wasn't there, or it wasn't robust. And that's why, as down as people want to be on BioWare and Mass Effect and Dragon Age and all of that, you know, the fact that they've had these directors, and all of these directors have been there coming on for at least 2 years, and some of them longer. That's really good. Like, that's a very good thing. And as far as we know, none of those directors have been laid off, have left the studio. You know, all of the ones that we're aware of are still there as far as we know. That's very good. And that's where I'm going to kind of wrap the educated speculation part up. Then we're going to move into what we don't know, and kind of what we can hope for, right? So the release date and development status. This is kind of what I've already been delving into. But I think the first question we have to ask is this Mass Effect game ever going to release? I am a very optimistic person. I tend to stave off and to the point, to some point, push back on negativity and pessimism. Even though I understand the basis of it, I still just think it's unnecessary most of the time. I hate when people say, You know, like I've seen people say, like, well, this next Mass Effect game is going to be a disaster. I can appreciate the reasoning behind feeling like that from people. I get it. I understand why, especially if you've been a long-term Mass Effect fan, why the things that are happening in the game industry and stuff like that doesn't fill you with hope for how things are going. I get it. I'm there too. But I'm not worried about it. I've seen a lot of people say that they think Dreadwolf is BioWare's last chance. I actually don't think that's the case. I suspect that EA is very aware of what Dreadwolf is likely going to be. There's a really good chance Dreadwolf is... it sounds optimistic what has come out so far about it. The thing is that even if Dragon Age Dreadwolf is a huge success, it's going to probably struggle to break even financially. This game has been in development for a very, very long time. We're under the impression it's been rebooted at least once, probably twice, and maybe more times than we even know, going from a traditional BioWare game to a live service online cooperative game, and then most recently being announced to be going back to being a straight up single player, just a good BioWare single player game. Even though we'll almost certainly see elements of the game when it comes out of that are kind of the carcasses of some of those previous decisions. So I don't think Dreadwolf is the last chance that some people think it is. I think Dreadwolf, I think it needs to come out and at least be like a 75 Metacritic score. Like if it comes out and it does okay and it does a decent job of at least trying to pay itself off. I don't think EA is expecting Dragon Age Dreadwolf to sell 30 million copies and be game of the year. I suspect they're hoping it comes out and has a 8 out of 10, you know, scores from most reviewers, and it generally satisfies the Dragon Age fan base and pulls some more people in who have been excited for and enjoyed, you know, Baldur's Gate 3 and some of these other games that have kind of gotten popular in recent years. You know, with Dreadwolf, though, it is kind of that thing of, you know, when it comes to development status and stuff, it's what I've been saying. While I suspect they're doing some pretty heavy duty pre-production on Mass Effect right now, I do think it's true that, you know, say they have 600 employees in their studio. Say that's maybe they've staffed back up, whatever. I mean, there's a really good chance. So say you maybe 100 of those people are staff, you know, people, non-developers. So you got 500 developers. I would assume that like 400 of them would be on Dreadwolf. And, you know, you are going to have people who eventually, you know, people, especially on the art side of things and all of that, who will eventually not have anything to do. Once they've made all the models and all the textures, for the most part, those folks are done with Dreadwolf. And that's when you would see them start to maybe move over to Mass Effect or start working on DLC for Dreadwolf, whatever they're going to do. We don't know yet. So when it comes to release date stuff, you know, I've had my own speculation. I was on 2026 for a long time, assuming that they start development, full production of Mass Effect by the end of 2024. A 2-year dev cycle isn't as crazy as you think if the pre-production's done well. I don't think you can use Dreadwolf as the example, even though we'll get to that next. But now I'm really starting to lean more into probably 2027. It is probably the most likely date, in my opinion. I give it about a 3-year dev cycle. You know, there's a big conversation to be had. Maybe I'll do a whole different podcast on it about, you know, scale. This Dreadwolf game, I think, is going to be just as big, if not bigger, than Inquisition, which is a gigantic, very long game, for better or worse. I wouldn't be surprised at all if the next Mass Effect is not that. I wouldn't be surprised if the next Mass Effect isn't even open world. There was a industry rumor, as Jez Corden put it a few months ago or a year ago or so now, where there was like chit chat around the gaming industry that the next Mass Effect may go back to the trilogy style of game where it's a hub and mission game, where you have these hubs where you get missions and you have your ship or you travel around, which is another hub. And then you go out on like expeditions. Like you leave the ship and you go to this fairly linear level where you go and you do the thing you need to do. Where, you know, as opposed to the most recent trend in the last 10 years or so of gaming is to just be these open worlds. And even Andromeda had a open world-ish way of gameplay where it was multiple like medium-sized open world areas. If that's true, if that scale is lower, I think a 2 to 3 year dev cycle is very realistic for the next Mass Effect. I really don't like, I'll get into it where, so after N7 Day 2023, we basically had two industry insiders kind of come out and say like slightly different things. So Jeff Grubb came out and straight up said he had a source telling him that Mass Effect, we're looking at 2029 and maybe 2028 at the earliest. Now, mind you, I'm predicting 2027, which isn't really that far away from his guess, but I was still upset about it, and I'll stick with that. Only because the reason I didn't care for his kind of take on this is he basically kind of mixed up him reporting something he had been told about how Mass Effect is way far away, that they aren't really working on it yet, the focus is on Dreadwolf. And then seemingly put in his opinion of when the game could come out and specified that, well, if it took Dreadwolf this long to be developed, that's how long it's going to take Mass Effect. Therefore, it's not going to come out till 2029. And I think that logic doesn't make any sense. And maybe someone internally has told him that, but I don't think he's ever clearly articulated that. And it kind of seemed like a date he was just throwing out there from his own brain. And that was using the example of Dreadwolf where, you know, the hope, and it could always happen, but hopefully it doesn't, you know, the hope is that Mass Effect isn't going to have 2 or 3 reboots, that it's not going to have a worldwide pandemic happen in the middle of its development cycle. It's not going to have a lot of the challenges and struggles that Dreadwolf has had, and that maybe it won't even have the scale of Dreadwolf. And so I think attaching that 5-6 year production cycle to the next game that BioWare doesn't make a lot of sense to me, because I highly suspect after Dreadwolf comes out, they're not even going to have the stomach to do another project like that. That no one will want Mass Effect to be that big or that sprawling or have as many issues as it had. So that's my pushback on that. Now, another insider, Tom Henderson, who's another pretty noted game leaker and things like that, I believe his tweet said something 2 to 3 more years. So his kind of falls into the same timeline that I've talked about and things like that. So we'll see. No one really knows. We really have no idea. And the thing is that maybe they're planning on releasing the game in 2026, but then something happens and it ends up coming out in 2029. I don't know. What else we don't know is what platform it's even going to be for. If this next game doesn't come till 2029 or 2030, that's almost certainly not going to be a Series X PS5 game, or it's at least going to be a cross-gen game. Because it's very likely that there will be new hardware for Sony and Microsoft probably in 2027 or 2028 at the latest. There's a chance Microsoft might even do it sooner. And so I think that'll be really interesting. It'll also be really interesting to see where like even PC hardware has gone by that point. Whether we have the 70, 60, 70, 70, 70, 80, 70, 90 NVIDIA cards or whatever it's going to be by then, might be even 8000 series by then, as well as Intel and AMD, and maybe another company will try to challenge before then. And then we also don't really know what style of RPG it's going to be. This is getting back to what I was saying before about scale, is that there's been at least, you know, somewhat interesting rumors about this game not even being this big epic open world that we pretty much assume all RPGs are going to be nowadays. I would again love to see them go back to a more traditional, you know, trilogy-esque style of RPG where we have our ship, which is like our home base. We have a bunch of hub worlds we can go check out and collect missions and do activities and recruit people, romance people, do all of that stuff. And then have a bunch of, you know, smaller scale missions to go out on, especially side quests, and then have, you know, these big kind of more grandiose moments that are part of the actual story of the game and the main story of the game. Now, I would still want them to try to introduce and bring in a bunch of more modern gaming mechanics and stuff. I think obviously Baldur's Gate 3 is going to be a big inspiration for, I think, how they try to do like relationships and interactions and how you can affect the story. I know everyone hates it, but I still think that there's even going to be some influence from Starfield and things like that. But I'm really curious because we don't know like what kind of RPG this is even going to be, if it's going to be some super deep hardcore one, or if they're going to try to go back to more, a little bit more of the trilogy-esque kind of a baby's first RPG, or maybe it's not super, super dependent on every single number and stat. I'm just kind of going towards my overall thoughts on this whole subject is really kind of focused on my like post N7 Day 2023 feelings. You know, I did that last podcast with N7 Legend where I think he was a little more down on it than I was, even though he had seemed to have been cheering up a bit about it. And especially in their most recent podcast, the Mass Effect Lorecast, he seems like he's recovered a bit. He's a little more upbeat about how things are going, or at least, you know, to a point. I'm still really upbeat. I'm still really excited to find out more, to see where it's going. I will say, as I mentioned before, like, I feel like basically all of my theories are dead and gone, that none of the theories I had come up with over the last few years make any sense anymore, or I just don't feel strong about them anymore. I've seen, you know, some videos recently from Mr. Hulthin and Kala, you know, talking about, you know, kind of doing what I'm doing in my own head of trying to be like, well, how could it work where we still have a shepherd, or, you know, that we still do get this kind of, you know, rebuilding story after the events of Mass Effect 3, but still incorporate all these other things that we've seen, especially the 2023 N7 day, which I still don't think anything about that trailer or that picture really looks super futuristic. And everything else we've seen, it just still seems like we're not dealing that far in the future from 3. But obviously we must be in some capacity. I don't know. I'm still, as you can hopefully tell right now, I'm still very shook by that 2023 N7 day, because I don't know. So, it is funny how much that threw me for a loop. But then also knowing that, at least from what Mike Gamble, the lead on this next game, has hinted to, that it seems like there's stuff that we've still missed, even in this most recent trailer or that poster. He and I think it's Parrish Leigh, who's I believe the franchise director, were kind of joking about how, oh, I'm glad they didn't notice that thing. And as far as I know, whatever thing he was hinting to, I'm not under the impression anyone ever figured out what it was. There seems to be some secrets left that we just haven't found, including some of the hard to understand stuff back in that 2020 trailer that, you know, in recent months people were trying to decipher again. And so, you know, coming to like my own personal hype level and kind of where I'm at, I still want to make, you know, content about the next Mass Effect game. I can't wait for some news to come out about it, officially or unofficially, to talk about and do videos on, and to even, you know, get back into doing videos about just like my own wish list and things like that. But I will say that my hype isn't lower than it was, you know, pre N7 Day last year. It's just different. After N7 Day last year and the things that Jeff Grubb kind of threw out there, it really took it from this like, oh, we never know. We don't know what could be happening. Ooh, this is mysterious. When's it coming? Is it coming soon? Is it not? Like, I feel like a lot of that kind of got taken away. And now we're more into the thing of like, okay, this game's really far away. Maybe we should slow our roll just a little bit and not get too excited or anticipatory about it. But that's fine. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. And I'm just happy to be on the ride. And I'm happy that if you're listening to this, you are on it with me. This is where, if there's listener questions, I will jump into them and kind of try to give some fairly quick answers on everything. I have to feature my Discord bud and YouTube video watcher, YouTubes, for over the last few months, sending me all kinds of questions and things like that to talk about. So I'm going to try to run through them here probably quicker than I should, but I would like to hit them up at some point. So the first one here being, what's next for the species and factions based off the different variations of results of where things left off post Mass Effect 3 and then Mass Effect Andromeda? So kind of the shorter version of this that I think is interesting to talk about is like, you know, what's the relationships of all of the species going to be in post Reaper War Milky Way? Whether this is something we see happening or see the after effects of, and whenever this next game takes place, it's going to be really interesting how the galaxy treats Asari, knowing that they were kind of hiding these secrets that could have made the damage or the pain of the Reaper War less had they just been honest with everyone and not been so afraid for people to realize that maybe they weren't naturally gifted and they had been kind of the chosen one of the Protheans in their time. And if they had just not worried so much about being elite or being better than everyone else, maybe the Reaper War could have gone a little bit differently. Looking at the Turians and how we're under the impression in Mass Effect 3 that the Turians are like significantly damaged, that they've lost a really huge part of their once great military that was one of the biggest ones in the entire galaxy, in the entire universe, even, you know, as the known universe, and how that destruction and damage to their society will, you know, work out long term. Humanity is interesting because on one hand, they've suffered maybe the worst destruction of all, of at least their home planet, Earth, being, you know, almost vaporized or at least significantly damaged, potentially beyond repair, or at least being the ground zero for all of the worst of the worst destruction by the Reapers as they were processing humans and doing all this awful stuff. But on the other hand, humans, you know, especially behind Commander Shepard, are the saviors of the galaxy in a lot of ways, where you realize that, you know, Commander Shepard's actions and the actions of the Alliance specifically are really, you know, it's really going to put them in a position of power that humans didn't have before and respect that they didn't have before, whether the other species like it or not. And I think it's going to be really interesting to see how humanity's role changes in this next game and their influence, how it changes. Maybe we'll finally get that all-human Citadel Council that we were supposed to be able to get after the first game, and we had that taken away from us. And then we have like the Quarians and the Geth, depending on what the game is going to do with that stuff and how they're going to handle canon choices and all of that, like, you know, are we going to have, you know, if it's the destroy ending is canon, we're going to have the Geth be wiped out, at least mostly. We're going to have the Quarians resettling Rannoch in their home planet. But then, you know, showing this most recent information about N7 Day, you know, somehow the Geth are going to come back. That seems basically confirmed at this point. And I think that was even hinted back in the 2021 poster that we got for N7 Day that showed, you know, here's all these dead Geth, but I suspect a big part of this next game will be trying to figure out how to get the Geth back, because it's very likely that a big focus in this next game is going to be all the species of the galaxy being like, hey, all the AI got wiped out, all of the synthetic life got wiped out, but the first ones of us who are able to build it back are going to have such a big advantage over everyone else. And so I suspect that we'll see that covered. And then I would say the Krogan are the other big one, is how are they going to handle the genophage question? Are they going to make it canon that it was cured, that it wasn't? They kind of have a scapegoat there, because even if you don't cure the genophage during the game and say you do what you need to do for like Morden to live, he makes it clear that after the Reaper War, he's still going to try to cure the genophage. So that's one of those ones where it seems like no matter what they decide to do, that the story will be that the genophage was cured at some point. And that we'll see, you know, how the Krogan react to being able to reproduce normally again, which according to the lore and the history of the story is insane. And they can reproduce extremely quickly to the point of being very dangerous because of how volatile and dangerous they can be. Or at least that's what we're led to believe by the Salarians and the Turians and so on. So, yeah, I think it's a really interesting question to consider what we may see come of the other species. Another question of yours was, I think there's an opportunity to really leverage the Mass Effect Archives website. It can create multiple different world states based off the choices presented and has stunning artwork. It can also provide a pretty solid high-level summary for many of the big options behind each choice. And I agree. I really, really, really would like if this next game has some way to take your choices in the trilogy and maybe even Andromeda into account. I think it would be really cool, even if it's fairly minor, because you have to design the game as well for people who never played the trilogy or Andromeda, because those games are going to be old by the time the Mass Effect trilogy already is old, even with the Legendary Edition. And then Andromeda is from, 2017? It's 7 years ago. As much as you may not want to think about that, because I definitely don't, that was a long time ago, especially in the gaming world. And so, yeah, I agree on the whole thing of having some kind of, website like the Mass Effect Archives, where you can either just be introduced to the history of the story if you're a brand new player, and for it to be an easy way to, pick all your choices from the trilogy, or even just, even if you never fully did it, take your canon choices and move them to the next game and see how it affects it. There very well may be a way for them to import saves from the Legendary Edition especially, but my guess is that it just probably isn't worth it to do that. To make that work is probably just not worth the effort, where they could just do kind of what you're saying. Have a, in the lead up to the game coming out, then be like, okay, here's the website for the next game. You can go in there, pick all your canon choices, and then you'll see, you'll have to wait and see how that's going to affect the next game. I think that would be super, super cool. Another question or topic here from YouTube's was, what are some new to Mass Effect game modes that you'd like to see the campaign employ to break up the standard weapon and power usage centered encounters? Examples being deactivating bombs in the first game, using only the gas grenades on the colonists in the first game, sending a squad mate to deactivate the console while the rest defend, and the use of turrets, etc. from that mostly Mass Effect 3. I don't know. I would like to see, as much as I actually don't like, the loyalty mission for the assassin in Mass Effect 2, and I'm going to remember his name, the Drell. Yep. Can't remember it. I'm sure I will later. But when you're going to try to save his son or to try to find out what's going on with his son, missions like that. Now, I don't particularly like that mission, but to just do things like that that are off the general gameplay loop and things like that, I think would be really great. And I would like to see that. Now, as for exact examples, I have no idea. That's what I hope, that foundation that they're pouring, that framework they're building, that scaffolding they're making, that's where I hope those super smart people at BioWare are figuring out some really cool, unique things for us to do like that. And then YouTube's last question here was, how do you think this Mass Effect Legendary Edition user data will influence the next game? Where do you think they'll go against the grain? In this, YouTube's was linking to one of those fairly recent, or at least from the Legendary Edition, stat things where they posted, how many people picked male Shep and fem Shep, and, most popular romances and squad mates and choices to make and all that. I think that's a pretty important thing to look at for them moving forward, especially if they're going to make canon choices, if they're going to set a canon ending, if they're going to set like a canon choice for the Corian Geth battle, for the Krogan and things like that. The one I think they have to stay away from and go against the grain on, especially as romance, I think they'll be very tempted to make Liara like the canon romance. And I would understand that even if I didn't particularly like it. But they've got to be real careful. I think they have to try as hard as they can to allow Shepard, whether they're dead or alive in the next game, to have, either make it, I guess, ambiguous, which I actually wouldn't like either, or to basically give us a choice where, when you start the game up, it says, you know, gives you choices from the trilogy, and one of them being who did Shepard romance, or who was Shepard married to, or whatever. And even if it only affects the game in the smallest way, I think that'd be smart, because if they try to canonize the relationship for Shepard, I think people will be pretty mad. So, but yeah, I hope that they do take those things seriously when it comes to other parts of the game, and where they may be either making canon choices, or say they try to make all three, incorporate all three endings. Well, if they see that Destroy was clearly the most popular ending, maybe they'll put a little bit more into the Destroy explanation, or how it impacts the next game world, and maybe Synthesis and Control will still have an impact, but you know, maybe they'll really focus on the ones that were the most popular. I don't know, but those are all really good questions. There was one more where you linked to a bunch of questions on the Discord. I'm gonna have to do like a whole separate podcast for that, or we'll hit that up on the next show that I record, and that's where we're gonna have that. So if you have your own questions, your own topics, or you know, even feedback on the show, you can get into Discord. The link for that is in the Linktree link in the description. You can get to my YouTube comments. You can hit me up on Twitter at Bondiesel, or you can just, you know, find me wherever, whether I'm on Twitch chat, streaming live, or however you want. You can reach out to me and shoot me your questions or whatever you want me to talk about in the next episode, and I will happily do it as long as it fits in. So that is where we're going to wrap this baby up. Once again, thank you so much for listening to this episode. Please consider participating in the next show by submitting questions in the Discord and, you know, the Google form or the other things I already mentioned. You can find me all over the internet as Bondiesel, including over on Twitch and on YouTube if you aren't there already, to see my other content or to find ways to support everything I do. Please check out the link in the description of the show. That Linktree link will give you ways to support what I do, either it's financially or just by sharing stuff I make. You know, all of that stuff matters a lot to me, especially for a small creator. So please do it. With that, that's all I have for this one. So until next time.